not the right title, yeah, a ninth class on the prayer of our forefathers. So just like I told you previously that we'll try to finish the Q&A during my classes, but now on Wednesday there's a testimony section and there's only four students. So I will do the Q&A after the testimony. Okay. Sorry to disappoint you guys. You have to wait for a couple more days, right? Hey, maybe by then you guys have more questions, right? We can add to it. So let's talk about Genesis. Abraham and Isaac, what chapter was it in? What's that? 17 plus 5. What is that? 22, right? 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Verse 6. Genesis 22, verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So we know that during this time, both Abraham and Isaac must walk together to fulfill the purpose and the goal that God wants them to accomplish. But here in chapter 22, what is the main purpose? Why this has to do with our prayer? Because when we pray to God, sometimes God will ask us to do tasks that is very difficult. And quite often, God also will ask us to give up the things that you and I love the most. So think within yourself right now. What are the things that you love the most? Think about it. If those things that you love the most more than Christ, then Christ will also ask you to offer that to Him. But do we have a willing heart? Are we willing to offer those things to God? And that is the question. For me, when I first came to Christ, I mean, like I share with you many times, I love sports. I mean, I love the New England Patriots. I love the Celtics. I used to watch them all the time, right? So no matter where I am, I always try to get back home to watch sports. Because when I watch sports, it really gets me excited, right? Right, to do exercise, to be in good shape. I mean, look at all the basketball players, right? You look at them. They're just in great shape, right? If you watch them playing basketball, like LeBron James, he's like, he's crazy, right? He's so good, right? And he's in such good shape, right? So you want, you know, to also be in good shape, right? But of course, watching too much, not watching sport is bad, but watching too much sports, it's not good, right? It's not good. So because of this, when I first came to Christ, I had to get rid of everything, right? My surround sound, I got rid of it, right? My karaoke stuff, I got rid of it, right? My TV, my VCR back then, right? I got to get rid of all those things. Not because all those things are bad. Not because of all those things are bad. But because I'm bad. I have no self-control, right? I'm not like Michael Jackson bad, but that in a bad way, right? Because I cannot control myself. So because if I want to go to church and if the game is on a Saturday, like afternoon, and then my mind is thinking, I want to go back home in a hurry so I can watch the game, right? And that's the way I was. So I got rid of all those things. I did not have TV, all those things for 12 years or 10 years? 10 years, I think 10 years. But I know that one day I will be able to control myself and I can get all those things. So all those time I save money, right? It took me 10 years to save money to buy the things that I have now. A long time, right? Because I told my wife, one day I will buy a big screen TV, right? And one day I will buy a really, really good surround system, right? So I save and save and save. And so thank God, right? After 10 years later, and then I feel like, those things cannot, if I don't want to watch it, I'm not going to watch it. Even now, at home, I have a big screen TV, but I have no cable. Right? And once in a while, if I watch, for example, the playoffs, right?
the Spurs kill the Heat. It's crazy, right? But whatever. But I don't really need to watch it. What I have, I just go on a computer and look at the score, right? And that's very different than before. Before, if there's a playoffs going, I would like do anything, right, to go and watch the game, right? But now, if I have opportunity to watch it, I watch. If not, it's okay. It's not a big deal. And that's when you know that you have offered the thing that you love the most to God. So the same thing for all of you, really. What are the things that you love the most? Right? For Sister Amanda, she was watching, Korean soap opera, right? And then after she went to the seminar, she just feel, I need to offer that to God. But God already told her already beforehand that God ruined her laptop already, right? So quite often, God really wants us, even though He knows that you enjoy those kind of things. And quite often when you enjoy the kinds of, for example, my nephew, when he came to live with me, right? He had like 20 cavities. He had 3 hours of surgery in his mouth. You know why? You know why? Sister, what do you think? What's the reason why I have so many cavities? Yes, you know why? Because his mother loves him very much. You understand? His mother loved him so much, so he eat all these candies, right? All the candies, so his mouth is all rotten, right? Yeah, his mouth all rotten. And the doctor told me that they have to take all his teeth out. And then that's why when he first go to school, the teacher didn't understand what he was talking. When he's talking, right? He has no teeth. You know what happens when you have no teeth when you talk? Nobody can understand you. So of course the dentist left a couple of teeth in front, right? And put silver and put, you know, cap it, right? So for him, so he can just talk, right? So all the time the teacher write letters and stuff like, your nephew, he doesn't speak English, right? He doesn't. The problem is he cannot talk and he cannot smile too, right? Because you have no teeth, you smile like, you look like a grandpa, right? That age, right? So actually for him, it's a lot of suffering, you understand? Because he loved the smile. My nephew loved the smile, right? If you know him, he's always very happy, very joyful, this and that. But because he has no teeth, and then he stopped smiling, right? Why? Because his mother loved him too much. But that kind of love is not good. The same thing for us, right? Even the Bible says too much honey is what? Too much honey is what? It's good for you? No, it's not good for you. Even honey, too much honey is not good for you, right? Too much candy, even though you love your kids very much. When you love one another, even though God loves us so much, that doesn't mean all those things will be good for us. So that's why, how would you and I know what's good for us or not? Look at Lot, when he decided to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, he did not know that that place was not good for him. But God knew. And just like Adam and Eve, God told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Because it's not good for them, because they did not listen. They ate, sin came into the world and destroyed everybody. So that's why for us, God loves us so much. But you and I must show how much we love Him by offering the thing that you and I love the most. Sister, what do you think? What's the thing that you love the most, you think? Oh, Korean drama, right? Is it really good or what? How many sisters watch Korean drama here? Raise your hands. Don't be shy. Okay. I mean, is it really good? It's like, I saw a couple of Korean movies. Everybody end up dying all the time. Yes. It's always like someone gets some kind of disease and this and that. Car crash, disease. And on the end, everybody's so sad, right? I end up crying too, right? Right? You're sitting there. I'm sure that if you watch a lot of those things, you become so depressed. Right? So depressed. I just went to the library. I like, why do so many sisters like the Korean soap opera? So I went to the library. I got like this CD, like 10 of them, right? Something like that, right? There's one scene. It's like the whole CD is one scene. They just talking and talking and talking and talking, right? That's it. That kind of stuff, right? Of course, usually a guy and a girl, they always what? They always go back to the past, right? They go back to the past and something happened, now it's the future, things like that, right? But of course, if you watch those things, it's nothing wrong to watch those things, right? But if you're addicted to it, right? Addicted to it. This means, you know, some grandma, they're so addicted, when they come to Sabbath, they watch it too, you know. Yeah. One young sister said, my grandma is so addicted to Korean soap opera, an iPad, things like that. So she come to Sabbath, right? She seemed like she's paying attention, but actually she's watching something. agama, my agama. So really, for all you guys, right? The same thing right now, right? Like Pastor Hu mentioned earlier, right? Think about iPhones and stuff like that, right? Really think about this. When you go back home, what is the first thing you want to do? Sleep? Play games, right? Play games, right? Play games, right? Alan, you probably your mind, right? You were always on my mind. What's that? Not God. It's your video games, right? Maybe, right? No. What's on your mind all the time? Emptiness. What's on your mind, brother? What's on your mind? Games, right? Games. What about you guys? You guys, games on your mind also? What are you going to do when you get home, brother? Talk to Victor and play video games with him? Or talk to your other friend. What happened to Victor? What? You don't know. You don't know. What do you want to do when you get home?
Check my email.
Check your email. Okay, check your email. Okay. You know what I... Oh, what about sisters? What do you guys want to do when you go home? Adriana, what do you want to do when you go home? Oh, what kind of... It's like an anime, you say? Oh, okay, catch up. Okay. You know what happened to the baby tomato, right? The papa tomato and the mama tomato and the baby tomato crossing the street, right? And the baby tomato was so slow. And the mama tomato say, catch up! And the truck ran over it. Do you get it, sister? Do you get it? You get it, right? Yeah, don't try to catch up. Something might run over you, right? Yeah, yeah. So for me, actually for me when I go home, of course, the first person I want to see is my wife, right? I'm looking forward to see my wife. Then the second thing is my pond. I got to go look at my fish, right? Because my fish, I got to take care of them, right? They're my pet, right? That's pretty much it, right? That's pretty much it. So really think about this. When you're here for the whole week, for 2 weeks, right? When you go back home, what do you want to do? Right? What do you want to do? Then you know that's the thing that you love most. Whatever you love most, then you must what? Sacrifice to God. It's very important. But to take sacrifice, for you to be a sacrifice, what do you need? What do you need? What was in Abraham's hand? Huh? I'm sorry? What was in Abraham's hand? Knife. For you to sacrifice, you need a knife, right? What is a knife? What is a knife? The Word of God. For us to sacrifice the thing that we love most of God, we need a knife. And the knife is the Word of God. There's no way you and I can get rid of those things unless the Word of God feel inside of you. If the Word of God does not feel inside of us, then those things will overcome us. Because the Word of God is so wonderful, right? In John 17:17, say the Word of God will sanctify us. Right? Because the Word of God is truth. What does the word sanctification mean, Joshua? Okay, to clean. But the word is really described very precisely. Sanctification. To sanctify, what does that mean? Okay, keep pure. It's true, all those things. But sanctification, what does it mean? One of the ministers shared with you already, right? To what? Sanctification. Actually, to separate. To separate. What does that mean, to separate? This means you separate yourself from the people that's in the world. That's sanctification. We don't walk like them. We don't talk like them. We don't eat like them. We don't do anything like them. We're talking about spiritual speaking, right? So if we cannot sanctify ourselves, and then it's very difficult. But only the Word of God can sanctify us. But about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I think, right? What does it say, the Word of God? The Word of God is what? What's that? Yes. You can eat lunch for free, Joshua. Okay. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, right?
So what's this mean? This means that when you are filled with the Word of God, you can pierce anything. You can pierce anything. Nowadays, people's hearts are very tough, right? So if you and I are not filled with God's Word, not only that, for us too. Maybe the thing that you and I love the most is inside our hearts. But without the Word of God, there's nothing can pierce through it. But when reading the Word of God, little by little, right? The Word of God pierce our heart to the point that we can get through the thing that's inside of us to get rid of it. Then the Word of God not only can sanctify us, not only can pierce our hearts, the Word of God also can what? Allow us to overcome the evil one. This is very important, right? The evil one. Why? Because the evil one wants to sow seed inside your hearts. And every time you sow seed, if you don't have the Word of God, then that seed will go really deep inside here. And because of this, then there's no way you and I can get rid of the things that you and I love the most. I remember, of course, in Ephesians, right, chapter 6, talking about that. Let's go to that. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Start from verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's start from verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So here, tell us that we must put the whole armor of God. When you put the whole armor of God, then we can fight and stand against the evil one. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood. But what? Against principalities, right? Against power. Against the ruler of the darkness of these ages. Of course, I'm talking about Satan and his devil. This is what you and I need to fight against. So because of this, how do we put all the whole armor of God? Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is the truth? What is truth? Hello? Yes, truth is the Word of God. Then having put on the breastplate of righteousness, how can you and I become righteous? How? Righteous, right? To be right. The only way that you and I can be right if we use the Bible to guide us. Because everything in the world is right according to people's eyes, right? In their own eyes. But for us, we must go back to the Bible. So that is the Word of God. So truth is the Word of God. To make us righteous is the Word of God. And then to put our feet, the gospel, what? The gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? The Word of God. Right? And then, above all, take the shield of faith. How can we take the shield of faith? How can we increase our faith? Remember one class I say to you, faith come by what? Faith come by what? Whoever gets this right, eat free dinner. Faith come by what? It's in the book of Romans. Huh? No. Faith, yeah. It's true, you prove your faith through deeds, but faith, how can you increase your faith? How? Faith come by... It's in the book of Romans. You can look for it. Between chapter 5 and chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing. Anybody find it? Faith comes by hearing. Huh? What's that? Yes, 10:17. Sister.
Here, you can read.
So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the sound of video games? Right? Hearing of music? No. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. By the word of God. So the word of God will also increase in our faith. Right? And then let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in other words, the full armor of God from our feet to our head is what? Is what? Yes, it's the word of God. No, when I was studying this chapter, I didn't understand why the word of God is the whole armor of God, right? So that night I was meditating on it, then why I was sleeping, and all of a sudden Satan showed up, right? Usually when Satan showed up while I'm sleeping, I cast it out. But this time a voice came to my mind and said, don't cast it out, just meditate on the word of God. So the minute I meditate on the word of God, I feel the word of God came into my head. Then slowly it filled my whole body. And as the word of God filled my body, Satan began to shake, right? Began to shake. Then when my body was filled with the word of God, Satan disappeared just like that. That's why I realized why the word of God is the whole arm of God. Because when you and I are filled with the word of God, Satan has no room to attack us. But this word of God, the word of God belongs to who? Who is the user of the word of God? Who is the user of the word of God? And verse 17. Who is the user of the word of God? Does the word of God belong to you, brother? According to verse 17? Huh? Read again. The word of God. Who used the word of God?
Yes.
The word of God belonged to the Spirit of God. The sword. So what does this mean? What does that mean?
Jake and Jack. What does it mean?
Something through the Holy Spirit. Can be filled with the word of God.
Okay. You know, you guys watch Star Wars, right? Who used the lightsaber? Jedi warrior only, right? No one else can use a lightsaber, right? Why? Huh? Yes. Jedi will have the force, right? No. The reason why, because the lightsaber, you guys watch Star Wars, Two Sisters? Or just Korean soap opera? Star Wars, right? The lightsaber, right? So why only the Jedi warrior can use a lightsaber? Because the lightsaber is so dangerous, you understand? If anyone uses it, they cannot use it the right way. They can cut their fingers off, right? Cut their head off, right? Only those who are trained in the art of Jedi, right? They can use it. So you understand the same thing. So when you and I are not filled with God's Spirit, and we use the Word of God incorrectly, what happens? Sometimes it will kill yourself, you understand? Not only kill yourself, kill those who are around you, right? You guys ever play with nunchuck? Nunchuck? Yeah, right? Are you good at it? Yeah, you hit yourself. That's why now they come out with a plastic one. Right? When I was young, I used to make it myself, right? Two pieces of wood, right? And one on one side and the other one's on the side. Yeah. Kill bump on my head, right? My back, right? Sometimes in my groin, right? Yes, because you want to do the Bruce Lee move, right? Like that, right? Why? You do not know how to use it. So that's why the word of God is very dangerous. You know how many theologians out there, right? You know, most theologians there, what, do they believe in God, theologians? Yes or no? What do you think? Huh? Not necessary, yes. They don't believe in God. Why? Because when they read the Word of God, right, they use their own ways to try to understand it. How can you understand that Methuselah is 969 years old? Come on, give me a break already. You understand? If you don't have the Spirit of God, do you believe that's 969? Yeah, okay. You have the Spirit of God in you, right? You understand? You must have faith to believe that Methuselah is 969 years old. But most theologians say, no, they make a mistake in writing the age. You understand? The same thing with Jonah. He got swollen by what? A fish, right? A large fish. And most scientists, most theologians say, there's no way, right? Why? Because the fish, the stomach have so much acid. There's no way it can stay there 3 days and three nights. There's no way, right? Duh. God created your whole universe in 6 days. You understand? How cannot God cannot create, make this fish, right? Not to kill Jonah. Come on, right? Why? Because most of them, they cannot understand. They try to see, a big fish, right? A large fish, if a human go inside it, the acid in the fish stomach will burn the human to death, this and that, right? You know that, right? You know about large fish, right? So that's why when fish eat other fish, they all come out in bones, right? Because the acid in their stomach just melt, the skin and stuff, right? Of the other fish, right? But you see, most of them, they do not believe. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. And that's the problem. So that's why when you and I read the Bible, we must pray to understand God's Word. If not, then you also will not come to believe. Why? Because you use the sword incorrectly. When you use the sword incorrectly, because we're not filled with God's Spirit. And we're not filled with God's Spirit, when you use the Word of God incorrectly, then what? You will kill yourself, you will kill others. It's very important. For example, right? The Bible say what? Enter by the narrow gate. For why is the gate but lead to destruction? So, the narrow gate, this is the goal. If you and I are too fat to enter the narrow gate, what must we do? What must we do? Exercise and lose weight, right? You know how many people, what does people do nowadays? If the gate is narrow and they're too fat to get into it, instead exercise and lose weight, what do they do? What is the next thing they do, you think? Huh? I'm sorry? Oh, surgery, okay. Surgery, okay, okay. But what's another step they would do? What's that? Diet. Yeah, that's lose weight, right? Yeah, that exercise, lose weight, that's fine. It's all the same, right? Yes? I'm sorry? Oh, climb over the gate, but... yeah, but the gate to the heavenly kingdom, you cannot climb over. You have to go through it, right? You have to go through it. But nowadays, so many Christians, what do they do with the gate? Yes, they make it bigger, you understand? Why? Because for them, they say, look at your church, right? Why do you need to say that baptism has to do with salvation? Why do you need to say, excuse me, right? That you need to have received the Holy Spirit, need to have your foot washed. All these things, right? It's nonsense. Because God is love. So when God is love, they use this love to widen the gate so fat. And then what? Then on the end, they lead them to destruction. You understand? The narrow gate, I would just quite say it, right? When God destroyed the whole world during the time of Noah, how many people were saved? How many people were saved? Eight. How were they saved? By the ark. Is that right? By God, okay? What were they saved? Really? Huh? Okay, by faith, okay? Now read this. It's so marvelous, right? Really, it's so marvelous. Let's read Peter. First Peter. Huh?
You're saved by the water.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? Okay, chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. You guys study 1 Peter and 2 Peter, right? You should know this, right? Chapter 3, verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. The ark represent what? What's the ark represent? The church, right? Remember, the ark cannot save us. The church cannot save us. But what's important is the teaching in the church. And water represents what? Baptism, the next verse, right? Baptism. Right, so amazing, right? What about the Israelites, right? When the Egyptian soldiers were following them. And then, the chariot, right, was following them. And then what? In front of them, this water, this the Red Sea. And back of them was the soldiers, right? But what saved them? Huh? Water. How did water save them? Yes, they what? Yes. You understand? Water saved the chosen people of God. Why? Because when they, walk through the Red Sea, then with this wall of water, and they walk on dry land. But when the enemy chasing after them, the water came back to kill all of them. That's how it can save, right? So it's all about have to do with water. All have to do with baptism, right? One time this kid, right, this young boy, right, this young boy, he went to Sunday school. And he was so excited because he heard about how the chosen people of God, right? They crossed the Red Sea on dry land, this and that, right? Then his science teacher said, "Oh, I said, oh, that's not true. Don't say that kind of stuff, right?" And the little boy said, "What do you mean?" He said, "During that time, the reason why the Israelites built a cross through the Red Sea because the water was only 2 feet deep." Right? And the young boy said, "Wow, my God is awesome, right?" And the teacher said, "Why you say your God is awesome?" He said, 2 feet of water, you would have drowned all the Egyptian soldier. You understand? So many people always try, right, to be so skeptical of what you and I believe. But look from the eyesight of God, right? Just like one time a boy, he learned from Sunday school, right? And he was so excited because he realized that God created him, right? God created him. Then he said to his dad, "Dad, today I learned that God created us." And his dad's, "Don't believe that. That's not true. He comes from monkeys, right?" So the boy's all crying, stuff like that. And he went to his mom. Say, "Mom, Dad said we come from monkeys." He's like, "Yeah, your dad is right. His family side come from monkeys and God created us on my family side, right?" Really, think about it. Whoever believe in evolution, think about this, right? You ever go to a zoo before? Anybody have been to a zoo and see a monkey? Guys see monkeys? Nathan, you see monkeys in a zoo before? What is the best thing, what's the best trick they can do? What is the best trick a monkey can do? Huh? What do you think? I bet you can be amazed when you go to the zoo and you see the monkey riding a bicycle, right? Like, wow. This monkey is awesome, right? Then 10 years later, he goes to the same zoo and see this monkey. What do you think he's doing? Reading a Bible. What do you think? No, he's probably riding the same bicycle. You understand? And look at us. Okay? I mean, look at how many of you can play the piano, right? 13, 14, 15 years old, so beautifully, right? You think a monkey can do that? You think a monkey can go and play hymns? You can teach him 1,000 years, he still cannot learn, you understand? Because we are created by God, right? We are created by God. So that's why for us, really, the Word of God, the knife, will allow us to sacrifice what you and I love the most. And the Word of God, why the Word of God is so powerful? Why? Why? Brother, what do you think? Why the Word of God is so powerful? What do you think? What's the first thing come to your mind when you say, the Word of God can sanctify us, right? Can pierce our hearts, can destroy Satan, and also can save us on the end days, right? From the judgment. Why is it so powerful? Why? Yes. It can be both of you, either one of you. Why the Word of God is so powerful? Help each other. What do you think? Huh? Okay, because it's truth, okay. Sisters, what do you think? Sisters, why the Word of God is so powerful? It's in John chapter 1, verse 1. Yes. The Word of God is God. Do you understand? That's why it's so powerful. That's why we want to sacrifice things that we love the most. We must have a knife. Then if you want to sacrifice things, let's go back to Genesis. Chapter what? 22, right? And David is 17, according to his Bible. Genesis 22, right? Genesis 22. What else does he have in his hand? Fire. What does this fire represent? Holy Spirit. Really, without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, there's no way you and I can get rid of the sin that's inside our hearts. The things that you and I love the most. Right? Remember Achan, right? Achan? Remember Achan in the book of Joshua? Remember that family? They sin against God, right? And what did they do to them? What's that? They stoned them to death. And then, is that it? And burned them. Of course, Achan represents sin, right? What kind of sin was that? Your greediness, right? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, right? And how to get rid of it? Even his kid too, right? Got destroyed. Everything. So what? Before you stone it to death, stone represent what? Huh? Stones represent what? You stone a person to death, right? Stone represent what? Hello? Aloha? Huh? The Word of God. The stone represent the Word of God. I must have said that 5 times. Use different example, right? The stone, the rock, right? And this and that. It's the Word of God. And then you must burn it, right? Burn it is what? Fire is what? The Spirit of God. You understand? So everything is like this. Everything is like this. If you want to destroy the thing that you love the most, you want to sacrifice the thing that you love the most to God, you must have a knife, the Word of God. You must have the Spirit of God, it's fire, to burn it. If you don't burn it, then sometimes it will come back alive. Right? You stone it to death, then you burn it. When you burn it, and then you make sure it's dead. But quite often, right? Our weaknesses always come back. Why? Because quite often you and I do not burn it to the point that it's gone. It still lingers inside of us. And that's why it becomes very powerful. So that's why here, in 22, right, chapter 22, you can see Isaac, right, saw that his father had a knife, that he saw that his father has fire in his hand. I mean, if I was Isaac, I would be very scared too. Right, when his father, he asked his father, Dad, you know, here's the wood, but where's the lamb, right, for the sacrifice? God will provide. Okay, you're the one who has the knife and the fire. I won't say anything else, right? Even though I'm joking around, but spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. You can see an older generation, really. Older generation. They have the Word of God inside of them. They have the Spirit of God inside of them. But look how many of us as young people, right? We don't even know what it's like to pray. We don't know what it's like to pray. We don't know what it's like to truly read God's Word. And that's why we must rely on the older generation. But quite often, even though we see them with the knife, even though we see them with the fire, but we're not afraid. But as older generation, they also need to do their part. Quite often you look at their knife, it's all rusty. Right? And sometimes the knife is broken. And the fire is already quenched already, right? Sometimes only a little fire. And that's why when the younger generation look at the old generation, just feel like, what is this so special, right? Nothing. But there will be one day, right? There will be one day. That you will look, right? That one day, maybe you guys will be the older generation. You will be the one that carrying a knife, right? You will be the one that carrying the fire. And when the younger generation look at you, they will see, wow, this is my forefather. This is the older generation, right? That you have the knife and fire to be able to sacrifice to God. And then as they continue to walk, right? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. This is so strange, right? I mean, Isaac, if his father already, you know, put the wood on the altar, and then his father just took him and bind him, I mean, why didn't Isaac do anything? Right? If your father did that to you, what would you do? Really, think about this. Your father built an altar, and all of a sudden he bring you and put you on an altar and then tie you up. What would you do? Would you just lay there like, okay? And that's what Isaac did. Why do you think he did that? He built to do that. Why? Huh? What's that? Yes, he trusts in his father. So that's one thing that you and I need to understand. We must also trust the older generation to do what is right. Because God also gave him a task to do. They have their own task. You and I have our own task. Just like Isaac, even though he did not say too much, but his task was great. Can you imagine during the time when Abraham built an altar and then Isaac is all running around, right? And Abraham tried to chase him, right? You think the picture would be beautiful as the one we saw? There's no way. I mean, Abraham, I'm sure at 100 years old, he's still very strong. But I'm sure Isaac, maybe he can run faster, right? He probably can run faster. But if that was the case, the picture would not be beautiful. But rather, Isaac, right, was so submissive to his dad. And just allow his dad to put him on the altar and did not do anything. So the same thing for us. As TJC members, the most beautiful thing is that learn how to be obedient. Of course, when it comes to the truth, I'm talking, when it comes to the truth, you must fight. You continue to fight. If someone say to you, someone teach you, someone share with you that baptism has nothing to do with salvation, you must fight. You cannot just let it go. The same thing with receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. The same thing with foot washing. The same thing with Sabbath. All these things, you must continually to fight. But everything else is fine. It's not a big deal. Well, it's not a big deal. But being submissive is very important. It's very important. Really, the reality is, you guys will be the pillars of TJC. The reality is that you guys will be the one that leading the army of God. And that is the reality. Even though I'm still young, but actually my time is over already. It's your generation that be able to spread the gospel to everywhere, not my generation. So that's why you must pray to God. If God move your heart in the future, right, to become pastors, to serve God, to be ordained as deacon and deaconess, all these things, and serve on a council, because the church belongs to you, and the church belongs to our God. So don't, no, you. But we must train ourselves, right? We must train ourselves. If we don't train ourselves, there's no way that you and I can be used by God. And the best way to train yourself is your foundation, right? When I'm talking about foundation, Joseph, what is the foundation I'm talking about? What is the thing that builds your foundation? Yes, Jesus Christ is true. But in our church, right, what is the foundation? You want to build yourself. Okay, the Word of God, yes. But more precisely, the basic beliefs. You understand? The basic beliefs. The day that you guys no longer believe in the basic belief, then that's the day there's no way you can overcome Satan. Give me, sister, give me one basic belief. Baptism, yes. Jesus Christ what? Okay, Jesus Christ, one true God. Okay, it's fine. The one true God, okay? One true church, yes. Foot washing, yes. Sabbath, yes. Holy Spirit, yes. What's that? Holy Communion, yes.
Yes, Bible, the Word of God, right? We have one more? Second coming, is that right, this 10 of you? Or this one more, right? This. Yeah, salvation, right? Salvation. Very good, thank God, right? You guys didn't really think too much, right? Even though I scared you, but you didn't think too much, right? And that's the way it should be, right? That's the way it should be. But the day that you do not believe in those things anymore, that's the day there's no way that you and I can overcome Satan. And never be afraid to pray in the Spirit. It doesn't matter who comes to church and visit us. We pray in the Spirit so we can save their soul. There's only, right now, right, Christianity been preached all over the world away. You guys know that, right? So why Jesus hasn't come yet? Why Jesus hasn't come yet? Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew. Jesus said what? When the gospel preached all over the world, right? And then he will come back, right? So why is he not back yet? Chapter 24, verse 14. Verse 14. And this gospel, how many gospel is it? One gospel. There's only one gospel that's according to the Bible, and you and I have it. That's how special it is. So that's why the minute that any one of you astray from true Jesus Church, you astray from this gospel, from the true gospel of God. But of course, as members, we are not perfect. Do you understand? We always have flaws, right, as members. But when we come to church, we don't look at members. We look at God. This one time, a young sister was caught into heaven. And when she went to heaven, and then she walked into a chapel. And in the chapel, she saw John, Peter, and Paul, right? All of the apostles. And she was wondering to herself, wow, why all these guys, this apostle, are sitting and listening. And she was wondering who was the preacher. Who was the preacher preaching? Huh? Jesus. Do you understand? So don't think when you come here, even though you see brothers and sisters, but in the Spirit is Jesus Christ Himself that speak to you, that encourage you and guide you. Why? Because this is the heavenly kingdom. When you and I get to that point, the point that our spirit is so filled, then you see things very clearly. And you would never ever go astray from this church. And when our brothers and sisters want to go astray, you must bring them back. I mean, why do you think, look at all the ministers, right? What did Pastor Lang do before he became a minister? What was his profession? Anybody know? What's that? No, he's an architect. He was an architect, right? And what Pastor Huang, what does he do? What Pastor Huang do? He got his master in something, right? I think double E, right? A computer engineering, one of those, right? So why they sacrifice their lives, right, to come be a minister? You know how much you get paid? Very little. Very little. Right? I think when I became a pastor, my pay cut is only a third of what I was making. I still don't know how much I make nowadays, right? But it's what I think what it is. Because every time I look at my bank account, there's no money inside. It's always gone, right? You understand? But why do we want to become ministers? Of course, because we love God. And the second thing, because we want the whole world to know the truth. And the truth, for all of you, you must go out and also and preach to the whole world also. Because it's so precious, right? When you find this great treasure, you sell everything to gain the treasure. When you find this great pearl, you go out and sell everything to gain the pearl. But you and I sometimes, even though we have this treasure, even though we have this pearl, but we treat it to be something so common. So common. The reason we don't, the reason why we treat it so common, because we do not know how valuable the truth is that you and I have.
Think about it, right? Noah was not saved by his ark, saved by water. The Israelites, they were not saved, right? Through anything else but the water. Same thing nowadays. Any Christian who is not baptized, they cannot be saved. And as simple as that. So we hope that through Abraham, right, we can see that the fire and the knife, and these are the two greatest weapons that you and I have in church. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 37, right? Ezekiel chapter 37, what is it talking about? Ezekiel 37, what is it talking about? Okay? The dry bones, yes. The dry bones, is it regular dry bone? No. What kind of dry bone? No. They say the bone is dry, but really dry. Really dry. Can you imagine, right? You see a pile of bones, right? They're all very dry. There's no hope, right, that these bones become alive. But what were the two things that made this bone become the great army of God? What were the two things? Just this. What were the two things? What's that? The Word of God and Spirit of God, yes. Only two things. Throughout the whole Bible, there's only two things that can do so mighty work. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and you not have that. Don't try to be like others. Others, they don't have the Word of God, they don't have the Spirit of God. You want to be like them. What? If you want to fight in the flesh, you have to use their weapon and their warfare. But you want to fight in the Spirit, that's what you and I are doing. We must use the weapon that God gave to us, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Let's kneel down and pray together.